This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Should the Fed keep its foot on the gas?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The Federal Reserve is finishing up a meeting today in Washington, which means we may get some more clues about just how long the central bank intends to keep up its aggressive monetary easing. The Fed has been buying up securities to boost lending and spending for almost 5 years now, as Marketplace's Sabri Benishore reports.
To ease or not to ease? That is the question. One of the potential problems with pumping so much money into the economy, we're looking at $2 trillion, is of course inflation, but there are other risks. Chris Lowe is chief economist with FTN Financial. He says for one thing, companies are borrowing more. It's super cheap with interest rates at almost zero.
You know, that's dangerous because interest rates are cyclical. At some point, they're going to have to pay higher rates to borrow, and they will have significantly more exposure.
That would be bad, but slowing the recovery by ending quantitative easing too soon could be worse. Steve Blitz is chief economist at ITG. He says even though the economy's growing, there's still plenty to keep the Fed concerned.
If you look at the number of continuing claims for unemployment insurance, therefore the number of people still unemployed, that is still at an extraordinarily high level.
Also, hello, Cyprus. Some economists say the prospect of more crisis in Europe is just another reason for the Fed to keep its foot on the gas pedal, at least for now. I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
U.S. Treasury Secretary Jack Lew is in Beijing this morning. It's his first foreign trip as Treasury Secretary and the first high-level talks between the U.S. and China in 6 months. Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz joins us with the details. Good morning.
Morning, Jeremy.
Well, what is Secretary Lew talking about with his Chinese counterparts?
Well, one thing that he has already talked about that we saw in previous Treasury Secretary visits is that he urged China's leaders to speed up the appreciation of China's currency. A more important item, though, that was on his agenda was that he confronted Chinese leaders about allegations that the Chinese military has stolen an enormous amount of intellectual property by hacking into the servers of America's largest companies.
Right.
And, you know, this is a sensitive and embarrassing issue for China. And this was definitely Jack Lew's first big test on how to negotiate with the Chinese.
Well, how's he going to be different from his predecessors? Because he follows, of course, in the footsteps of Tim Geithner and Hank Paulson.
Yeah, Geithner and Paulson both had extensive China experience. Paulson had been to China dozens of times before becoming secretary, and Geithner had even studied at Peking University when he was younger, so they had lots of connections here. Lew doesn't have this close connection to China. He's more of a Washington insider. And some people think that's a good thing because it may make it easier for him to be tough on China on a lot of these issues.
So he may be tougher. What about areas of common ground?
Well, I think the biggest potential for common ground is making it easier for American companies to export products to China. You know, U.S. exports to China are worth more than $100 billion a year, and they're just going to grow as China's consumer class grows. And for the Chinese, this new government has pledged to build a consumer-driven economy, and American products are part of that equation. So if more and more Chinese keep buying American products, we'll see that infamous trade deficit with China narrow to more manageable levels.
Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz. Rob, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Jeremy.
And let's get a check on Wall Street. Stocks are up this morning. The Dow up 64 points or 0.5% at 14,520. The NASDAQ up 0.5% as well. And same with the S&P 500.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, whose Reputation Defender service is designed to help businesses and professionals improve their search results. Learn more at 1-800-REPUTATION. By Allianz, providing retirement solutions that can help to guarantee income for life through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. and by Kronos, offering cloud-based workforce management solutions to control labor costs, minimize compliance risk, and improve workforce productivity. More at Kronos.com. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
Gold prices jumped a couple percent this week thanks to uncertainty about Cyprus, and nowhere will a surge in the cost of gold be felt more than in India, the world's largest importer of gold. The BBC's Rahul Tandon reports from Calcutta.
It's wedding season here in India, and that means there's only one thing people are talking about, gold. I'm at a wedding in Calcutta with guests Surbhi Kampani and Shubhra Agarwal.
We've started building on the gold and building on the jewelry and all of that. And for our daughter, we've started from the minute she was born, honestly. I think it's very important. At weddings and things like that, we have to give some amount of gold. Gold is a must.
Gold is a woman's best friend. And it belongs to that woman, and nobody can take that away from her.
Tanya Sadhu is about to get married. She's been buying lots of gold for her big day.
I mean, you cannot think of a wedding without some kind of yellow bling around. Gold is a way of showing your status, and it's a status symbol. There is kind of pressure that you do need to wear some kind of jewelry, or you know, it's always seen how much jewelry you're bringing into your household, how many gold sets.
The government, though, is not happy that people spend so much money on it, as it means huge amounts of cash flow out of the country. In response, they've raised import taxes on gold. Watching the ceremony with me is business analyst Mudha Pattaraya.
My hunch is it won't work. Impossible. Impossible. You actually believe that in India people are going to give each other equity share certificates when they get married? It won't. What will you hang around your neck? A certificate.
With marriages getting bigger and bigger, people are buying more gold. So the Indian government may have to raise taxes again. But it appears that will make little difference to people here. As in the world's largest democracy, the only thing that glitters is gold. In Calcutta, I'm the BBC's Rahul Tandon for Marketplace.
And finally, the conventional wisdom is that the NCAA basketball tournament, known as March Madness, causes office productivity to go down. But a company called Office Team surveyed 1,000 managers, and 16% of them said the tournament will have a positive effect on productivity. Not sure I trust that survey, but our question of the day on Facebook is, how much money is at stake in your office pool this year? Let us know at the Marketplace APM Facebook page. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
So you've got your NCAA tournament brackets ready, but how do things stack up economically?
Some of the new wave, the higher-end new tech stuff, has been centered in the state of Washington, so it could be that there's a little more of a mercurial performance for those from the state of Washington.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Can your state make it to the Final Four? That's next time on Marketplace from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.